So I'd like to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I heard today, and I'm going to quickly go on there. And I heard verse 7, so I'm just going to read to you what I heard. I'm not sure why this is supposed to go in, but... Verse 7 says, and I'm using the Amplified, St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them about the gifts of the body to be used in all of the brethren. Okay? He says, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That is the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. To another, the power to express a word of knowledge, an understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith. Now, wonder-working is in parentheses, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. That is, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. And to another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterance of true spirits and of false ones. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these achievements and abilities are inspired and brought to pass by the one and same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually as I want. Do you ever see that as I want in there? No, it's not in there, huh? Sorry. Takes you out of the control booth. Puts him back in there, huh? As he chooses. For just as the body is a unity and yet has many parts, and all the parts, though many, form one body, so it is with Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For by one Spirit we were all, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, baptized into one body, and all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one limb or organs, but of many. And of course, he stressed this several times about the multiplicity of different individuals with their gifts and their giftings. Now that is starting right at the top. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, etc. And all the workings in the body. Every single individual is important. So not one can say, oh, well, I've got my act together, so why hasn't everybody else got their act together like me? Well, I'm not supposed to be like you. And you're not supposed to be like me. So it takes the focus of me trying to become like someone else. But to become what God has orchestrated for me to be. And to be focused on Him, I will become like Him, and that which is to excel out of His Spirit inside of me will come more and more alive. So, you know, the competitiveness should not be there. If it is, it's coming from the wrong tree. Okay? We should really be happy with what God is trying to develop in each of us. And then be dependent on those pieces to the body. Now, what happens if your right foot is itchy? Do you ever try to scratch your right foot with your left foot? It works a little bit, but I like fingernails a lot better. Yes?
Yeah.
It works. Okay? Now, why? But you need that other part. You need a hand. And he made that quite clear, but I was trying to say to the Lord today, what is it that you want us to discuss? Well, he said, first of all, talk about what you've got and what you gained, and there will be more of this, because we need to connect to see the growth that God is providing in the body, because the body is to be harmonized with all different giftings and all different levels of giftings and abilities. But it starts with character. Each one of us can have wonderful giftings, but if you have no character, what is it? It's useless. I have seen, in fact, this is the word I heard. Tell them that the Lord wants to build a house that functions like a great ship. Well, a great ship is not loaded with loose cannons. Because when war breaks out, the cannons have to be tied down in the right place at the right time and to be fired on time. Otherwise, you have what? No defense. Now, if everybody's got an attitude and wants everybody to do their own thing, that's what loose cannons do. They're all shooting in the wrong direction. But if we're all focused on the Lord, and that when you're at a conference and you've paid a few bucks and you've flown halfway across the country to get there, well, what are you? You're intent on learning what they're going to say. So you're going to be 110% attentive. You're not going to go there half drunk or stay up all night partying and then go to the service. Yahoo! You ain't got much brains. If you did that, you'd waste your money. Right? It's the same thing when we come to the body of Christ. We have to be attentive, we have to be prepared, and we should be prepared not only to be there, but to give out whatever we have. And that is awesome. And that was one of the words that he gave us. He says, Kim, these people are hungry and willing. So that's a compliment to you. Okay? I have nothing to do with creating your abilities. I am just trying to orchestrate so that they work together. That's my job, to make it work together. And everyone has something. And when they're all coordinated together, we make beautiful music before the Lord. That's kind of neat. We even borrowed one from California. Does that help at all? I'd like you to, if you have the Amplified, to go to John chapter 7. That's the other part you told me that we needed to really look at tonight. The Gospel of John. And this is our Lord's Prayer. What did I say? Did I say 7? 17. It's 7, but it's got a teen on the end. John chapter 17. Now, this is the Lord praying. And he's really getting ready for his own departure. And when I mean departure, I mean him being crucified. But he made sure that John heard this prayer and that it was written for our benefit. And it can show you some basic truths to what we've heard during the week. So it starts off in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your Son, so that your Son may glorify and extol and honor and magnify you. Just as you have granted him power and authority over all flesh, he's talking about himself, all humankind, now glorify him so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Now it's very important that you realize that the Father has given Jesus 12 and then the others. Verse 3 is quite exciting. And this is eternal life. So if you ever ask yourself, what is eternal life? Here it is, coming right out of the Lord's mouth. To know you, the only true and real God, and to know Him, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. To know, have knowledge of, have intercourse with. That's eternal life. So you think you're going to have a harmonious relationship without, you know, having intimacy, it's not going to happen. So, I was questioned the other day about, well, why are you different? And the question came from a Jehovah Witness at my door, an elderly man. He says, you're a Christian, right? I said, yeah. No, he said, you're religious. I said, no. He says, you're not. I said, no, I'm relationship. Relationship with Jesus. That's where I'm at. So that makes me a Christian, if you'd like, but not a religious person. Because I says, you know, I'm not very religious. I don't even look like that. So he laughed. And he left. And I said to the Lord, should I have witnessed any further? And he said, no, would have wasted my time. Verse 4, I have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. So how can I glorify the Father in the earth? By doing the work that my Father gave me to do. It's not complicated. It's kind of sweet, isn't it? And now, Father, glorify me along with yourself. Restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence as I had with you before the world existed. Ha ha ha. Do you like that? This is identifying the reality that He was with the Father, and so were you. And it confirms the word that He gave you over and over this past six sessions. Okay? He said, our Savior was crucified before the world was created. Awesome. And now, that glorification is going to take place in the natural, but it happened in the spirit before. So first is the spiritual, then comes the natural. Happened to be 4,000 and some odd years later. But for God, that's not a problem. Verse 6, I have manifested your name. I have revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have obeyed and kept your word. Now notice that the disciples are given to Him for care, for shepherding, for teaching, for counsel, for comforting, etc., etc. Now, at last, they know and understand that that all you have given me belongs to you, is really and truly yours. For the uttered words that you gave me, I have given them, and they have received and accepted them, and have come to know positively and really, and in reality, to believe with absolute assurance that I came forth from your presence. And they have believed and are convinced that you did send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world. Is that a misprint? Why isn't he praying for the world? The world wasn't given to him. Thank you. What was given to him is he had direct instructions. These are yours, and you take care of these. Now, what about all the others? Why didn't he pray for them?
They weren't chosen.
Thank you. They weren't called, they weren't chosen, and they weren't elected. Are you chosen? Are you called? Are you elected? Well, so now look at why you're here. Because God is building up a body of believers. And He is not interested in those that are out there in the world, is He? Should you be focused on all the ones that are in the world? He died for them, yes. But the point is, when he's praying, he's not praying for them. See, he's dying for them, but they need to bow their knee to the Father and to him. Right? So now they have free will and they have been given free choice. Now, that doesn't mean we don't pray for the world when the Lord tells us to, but it's obedience that I'm trying to make you see, that he was obedient to the Father and he didn't pray for the world because that's not his commission. But for those you have given me, for they belong to you. So now there's a precious reality here that I would like to make sure that, you know, God is saying, I give you some to pray for. Did you ever notice you kind of sometimes take the same ones to the altar over and over? And all of a sudden, there's like, I remember one time the Lord told me, it's all done. There's nothing else to do. Just shut it down. You don't need to go with that one to the altar anymore. You don't need to pick up that one anymore. Well, either they got saved or they made a quality decision. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. I don't know what their answer is. I may not know till eternity comes. But then once my job is done, it's done, finished. Let it go. So that's a piece of wisdom for you. There may be times that you'll want, your emotions might want to do, but don't follow the emotions. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit within you. Verse 10. All mine are yours, and all that are yours belong to me, and I am glorified in them. They have done me honor in them. Notice it's in them. My glory is achieved. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep in your name them that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. There's your harmony again. As. While I am with them, I kept and preserved them in your name. Those you have given me, I guarded and protected, and not one of them has perished or is lost, except the son of perdition, the one who is now doomed to destruction, destined to be lost, that the scripture might be fully filled. In John chapter 6, verse 70, you'll also realize that he's a devil. And that's not exactly easy, but it's there. And now I am coming to you, which is Judas Iscariot, by the way. Now I am coming to you. I say these things while I am still in the world, so that my joy may be full and complete and perfect inside of them. Now, inside is not there. It's just in them. But I'm stressing. That they may experience my delight fulfilled in them. That my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls, mind, will, and emotions. There's your covering again of the same transformation and salvation of the soul. Jesus prayed for it. Is you think he's going to get his answer to prayer? And it's working, isn't it? That they may have my gladness within them, filling their hearts. I love that part. That might be your confirming word. I have given and delivered to them your word, and the world has hated them. Do you ever wonder why they all got crucified? Except for one? Because they tried to boil him in oil, and the tradition says, anyway, they couldn't succeed. So they got rid of him on the Isle of Patmos. And anybody remember what Patmos means? A place of death or something like that? You don't go get back. I'm just asking if you remember. Huh? A place of killing? Or something to that effect. A dying process?
A dying place.
It was intense anyway. The word Patmos, which I never knew, which was kind of sweet. So I have given and delivered to them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Do not belong to the world. As I am not of the world. Notice that. I am not of the world. I do not ask that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world. So again, your protection is done by the Father. Amen? Verse 16, they are not of the world, worldly belonging to the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, and make them holy. Doesn't say make yourself holy. Which again confirms relying on Him. By the truth, your word is the truth. And He is the word, isn't He? Just as you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And so, for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Neither for these alone do I pray. Here's your prayer. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust, cling to, rely on me through their words and teachings. That's the church. Amen. So you see, He prayed for you and me because we are listening to what they wrote and what they have spoken. Verse 21. For that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Does that say in us in your Bible? So that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. So the reality of the world is going to change when they see the fullness of the Father and the Son inside of you and me. That prayer is also going to be answered. 22. I have given them the glory and the honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Repeat it again. I in them, you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me, and that you are loved, that you have loved them as you have loved me. So that should solve your problem about being loved. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have entrusted to me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me. Did you catch that? 24. I desire, Father, that they also whom you have entrusted to me may be with me where I am. Where is he? He's seated at the Father's right hand. You got that several times, didn't you? All right. May be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory. So it's possible for us to see his glory, which you have given me. By the way, what is his glory? It's his crucifixion. It's his dying to self. It's his giving up his flesh so that ours would be changed. Your love gift to me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. There you go again. Oh, just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually. And these men understand and know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them and revealed your character. There you go. Does God have character? Absolutely. And your very self. And I will continue to make you known that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts. Felt. Is that what your Bible says? Felt. That's emotion. That's the soul. Correct? And that I myself may be inside of them. Gail, that's good stuff, huh? Yeah. But it's truth. And he said it, and he prayed it, and it's being answered inside of us. As we learn to let him become more and more a reality in everything we do and everywhere we go.
Place of my killing.
Place of my killing. Oh, God. So you're ready to get glorified? I got to be healed first. Got to be killed first. Well, he's slowly killing us of all the old stuff. How many have seen a lot of old stuff starting to show up a little bit and you don't like it? Well, there you go. Let him cut it out by the breath of his mouth coming out of your mouth. Amen. Any questions? I know we ran over, but I didn't expect to, but we did. Can we just bow our heads, please? Father, I just ask that you would just release grace now. Because there's a lot of words that came out tonight. A lot of sharing. But the reality is that you are the author and finisher of everything that's going on. And that you will complete the mission in every single one of our hearts to make us exactly like our Father. Make room for him inside of us, along with his Son, Jesus Christ, and by his Spirit rule and reign. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Share some hugs.
Yes, ma'am.
She looks kind of pretty in those colors, huh? Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you don't have a car.
Huh?
I have a car.
You have a car? When did it happen?
Picked it up on Saturday.
You're kidding me?
My cousin was getting rid of his car.
Oh.
He's got 4 payments on it.
So what'd you get?
Cadillac Eldorado. It needs some work.
I was going to give it to me for free.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to take it for free.
Yeah.
I told him that I'd finish up the payments and then I'd just keep paying the insurance off.
Oh, well, that's good.
So
that's great. So you have wheels.
I have wheels.
Okay. That's intense.
Get it over and done
with. Oh, get it over and done with. Oh, if I didn't know any better, I'd say that's a little tiny bit of control there. Oh, I better shut this off because you'll have to contend with that on there.